again, everybody, and welcome to the Celtics Talk Podcast. It's Kyle Draper, joined, as always, by our insider of CSNNE.com, A. Sherrod Blakely. What's up, Sherrod?
What's up, Kyle Draper?
Dude, I didn't think we were doing another podcast till September, you know, previewing training camp.
You had to put your Mai Tais and your blue Hawaiian drinks down. I know, Kyle.
I did.
That's rough for you. I know.
Dude, I was chilling on the beach, you know, hanging out. No, but seriously, fireworks in the month of August. I don't think anybody really saw this coming. I mean, there was chatter about it. You know, we were talking, do you think Isaiah and Kyrie can be traded for each other? But lo and behold, the Celtics actually go ahead and do that. Are you surprised?
I'm very surprised, because I thought that Cleveland might have, well, their focus was trying to get something done with teams out west, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's typically how teams, when you have a marquee player like a Kyrie Irving, you're trying to move him as far away as possible so you can see him as little as possible. But when they struck out with teams out west, they had to come back east because they had to get a deal done. And, you know, I think, you know, for both teams, both teams can feel good about this deal. They got, I think, they got a two-time All-Star for a guy they had to move, and a rotation player, and a draft pick that could potentially be the number one overall pick. And for the Celtics, they got that franchise slash cornerstone type player that Danny Ainge, Whit Grosbeck, and that whole, you know, that Celtics front office has been lusting for a while now. So, to me, both teams have to feel good. But if you're the Celtics, you're feeling really good because you got the guy you wanted and you didn't have to disrupt your young, still developing players to do that, which I thought they were going to have to do.
All right, coming up in a minute, we're going to talk to ESPN's Chris Haynes. He spent 2 years in Cleveland covering Kyrie Irving, covering LeBron James. You know, what's that dynamic like? What kind of player are the Celtics getting in Kyrie Irving? But let's recap this trade, Sherrod. First of all, the Celtics get Kyrie, but they got to give up Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Ante Zizic, and that Brooklyn pick, 2018 Brooklyn pick. You know, it's funny because now you're hearing, oh, Brooklyn's going to be better. They're going to be a good team. That pick isn't all it was cracked up to be.
They're going
to
be better than they were. They're still going to suck. I mean, let's just be real with it. They're still going to be a bad team. The Lakers are going to be better, but they're still going to be a bad team. And the fact that the Celtics are going to have the Lakers pick, provided it's not the number one overall pick, that gives them the potential, the Celtics, of once again adding an elite player to a team that already has a big three of sorts with Kyrie, Al Horford, and Gordon Hayward. And they've got a big three in waiting with Kyrie, you know, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown. So really, when you look at where this team is at right now, Kyrie Irving is the hub. He's the link between where they are
right
now and where they're going to be. And so that's why adding him to the mix with a contract that, when you look at the dollars that are just flying off, you know, out of the registers now, you're getting significant bang for your buck. I mean, he's making Evan Turner money.
Why you got to bring my dog Evan Turner into this?
You know,
man. Leave
Evan Turner
alone,
and
man.
I'm happy that Evan got paid, but let's be honest and keep it 100. He's making Evan Turner money.
But is Kyrie ready to lead? That's the question. We're going to ask Chris Haynes that coming up in just a little bit. But Kyrie is getting his team. I understand Gordon Hayward's here, Al Horford's. But Kyrie's the best player. He's the biggest name. He's the superstar on this team. Is he ready to lead? That's what I'm worried about.
I'm worried about that, but I'm more concerned with his ability to adapt to guys who are proven leaders. I'm talking about Al Horford. Al has always been a leader, but the way he's gone about it is the way
it's different.
It's different. I mean, Al is all about, I lead by example. Every now and then, I'm going to flap my gums in a locker room, in the playoffs, most likely. That's what Al does. He's always been that kind of dude. How is Kyrie going to, you know, allow Al to just continue to be himself without trying to be too much of a leader? Because leadership is something that I don't think you can necessarily just wake up one morning and boom, you're a leader. It has to be a natural progression. And for this team, they respect leaders who lead by example. Like Isaiah Thomas became the de facto leader of this team. And it wasn't because, you know, he had the Napoleon complex and that he yelled at guys. It's because he dropped 29 points
right.
a game.
He brought his A game every single night.
And Al, you know, Al is a leader not because he puts up a bunch of points. He just makes winning plays. And at the end of the season, and you look up and you say, oh, wow, we won more games than we've ever won under Brad Stevens. What did we do that was different? Oh, that's right.
Horford.
We got Al Horford.
Right.
So Kyrie's got to figure out. He's got to, you know, get in where he fits in terms of the leadership, and that's going to take some time, without question.
Well, you know, and another question is, you know, as we talk about the leadership, Kyrie is going to have to make his teammates better, in my opinion. You know, Gordon Hayward's going to do his thing, but you got some young guys. You got Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart. And so, Kyrie, we know you can get buckets, Kyrie. But can you lead and make others better? This will be his first chance at really doing that, because before LeBron came back to Cleveland, that Cavs team, that was awful. I mean, they were garbage. We know that. But now you got, you know, some young, impressionable minds, you know, and are you going to be setting the example to them? Think about it. Kyrie's one of the veterans on this team.
Which
you know,
crazy.
It's crazy. You look at this roster, you got a whole bunch of young players. Now Kyrie is a veteran. You know, he didn't want to live in LeBron's shadow. I understand that. But now you got young players who are living in your shadow. How do you lead those guys?
And I think specifically about Jason Tatum, a guy who went to Duke, obviously, after Kyrie was there. But they got that in common. They have the same agent. You know, these guys vacation together in the Bahamas together. I'm worried about – not worried, but one of my concerns is how – what kind of impression he's going to leave on Tatum, because Tatum – it has the potential to be a very special player. And special players, if they're kind of derailed and don't get the right kind of leadership and they don't follow the right type of players early on, they can easily find themselves in a really bad situation quickly. But I think Kyrie, I think he is going to be fine. I think he's going to be okay, because I think he's going to get something in Boston that he has never had before. And I'm not talking about the leadership opportunity. I'm talking about stability with the front office.
Right.
Stability
coaching
with the head coach. Those are things that we take for granted, and I think fans take for granted. But when you look at the successful organizations, you look at, I don't know, San Antonio.
Mm.
You look at Boston. You look at teams that have had a certain level of stability in those key off-the-court positions. Those teams find a way, even when they have rough patches, they correct it fairly quickly. And I think Kyrie, he's going to benefit from that type of structure, because in Cleveland, I mean, it's just chaos. I mean, there's no way in hell that David Griffin should not be the GM.
Right.
All
right,
he did
right.
in 3 years would get him to the damn NBA finals
every
year.
Yep.
I mean, well, I don't know. As someone who is charged with putting teams together, what the hell else can you do? I mean, you literally the only thing you could do better than that is win a title every year, and that team out west, Golden State, let's be real.
And that may be why LeBron leaves. I mean, you know, it always starts with ownership.
Right.
If your owner's garbage, we see that in New York, we're seeing that, you know, to an extent in Cleveland, then your franchise isn't going to have sustained success. With that being said, I still don't think the Celtics are better than the Cleveland Cavaliers right now.
I don't think they are right now. I think they're close, but I think they're still – I wouldn't even say a player. I think they need one real good 6-7-game series to make them feel like, you know what, we're almost there. We're almost there. I don't think they're there now, but injuries, inconsistent play, drama in the locker room, little things that we can't control, that we can't foresee now, could potentially derail them. And if you're the Boston Celtics, you need to be ready to pounce on that.
Yeah, of course. You're right about that. But for the Celtics, you got 11 new guys. I think it's going to take some time.
It's going to take some time. And you know, the scheduling guys did not do them any breaks by giving them 7 of the first 11 on the road. But the one positive is that because they are going with more practice time in the preseason and fewer games, they're going to get a lot more time to work on timing and things like that in practice, and not necessarily, you know, have to play 25, 30 minutes, you know, in you know, some little, you know, doohickey town up in New England. They played a couple games in their building, a couple games on the road, and it's a wrap.
And then they're back in the gym working out,
which is important. Coaches always talk about how important practice time is, and how they never get enough in the regular season. Well, they're going to get plenty of that, you know, going into the regular season for sure.
All right, let's get a guy who knows Kyrie Irving very well
on the phone,
Chris Haynes of ESPN. He covered the Cavs for ESPN for a couple of years, was there in Cleveland in 2016 when they won the title. Let's dial up our guy, Chris Haynes of ESPN. Now joining us, friend of show, Chris Haynes of ESPN. Chris, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine, guys. Thanks for having me on this stellar award-winning show. I'm proud. Honored.
He's a smart man.
The check will arrive in a couple of days. Thank you very much.
Hey, Chris, I know at one point this offseason, you know, Celtics fans weren't too happy with you, but you have, you know, you proved to be right with the whole Gordon Hayward situation. So props to you on that, my friend. But we want to get into this whole Kyrie Irving trade to the Boston Celtics. What can you tell us about Kyrie? I know you covered Kyrie and the Cavs for a couple of years out there in Cleveland. What can you tell us about the guy the Celtics are getting?
Well, he's a dynamic player. And I think what a lot of people forget about him is that he's only 25. And I think pound for pound, talent-wise, especially offensively, I think he's top three in the league as far as talent-wise, skill set, multiple ways of scoring the basketball. I think his best years are yet to come individually. It's, you know, obviously we have yet to see what he's capable of doing team-wise as being more of a focal point of the offense. But I think the Boston Celtics, I actually like the move. I like the deal for both teams. And I like the move for the – I like the deal for the Boston Celtics. I really think Kyrie, they're getting encouraged. They're getting a motivated Kyrie Irving. And I'm interested in seeing how he's going to mesh with those other guys in Boston. I think what people – I think what people have to remember as well is, like, playing with LeBron James is you can't simulate that. You know what I mean? Like, LeBron – so much of LeBron James's talent is – The game plan, the schemes, or everything is geared towards LeBron. And so when you take LeBron out of that lineup for a game or two, they're so accustomed of scheming and designing everything around LeBron James' skill set. I'm talking offensively, and I'm talking defensively. So I think it's natural for the team not to play up to par because they're used to playing a certain way. LeBron James is the only player who is built like that to where the game plan is schemed around everything he does. So I think Kyrie going over there to Boston, I think it won't be, you know, Brad Stevens won't have everything totally designed for Gordon Hayward or somebody else. You know, it'd be much more team-oriented. So that's why I think that record is a little bit skewed and it's a little bit kind of misleading. When you look at LeBron James being out, I really do think Kyrie is going to flourish under Brad Stevens playing with Gordon Hayward. And I do think, even though he'll have to share the ball with some other guys over there, he will be the focal point. There's nobody else. There's nobody on that roster who can get up a quality shot like Kyrie. And like I said, I think he's top three in the game as far as guys who could get quality looks on every possession.
Ooh, strong words, Chris. But how come it couldn't work with LeBron?
He's not the most pleasant guy to cover. He keeps to himself. And for the most part, he's done that with his teammates as well. He wasn't the easiest guy to get along with. It took some nourishing. He wanted to leave. You guys remember, he was requesting a trade behind the scenes before LeBron James got there. Then he ended up signing that extension. Then LeBron James announced he was coming over. So, you know, he wasn't too all keen on, you know, playing his whole career in Cleveland. And then he wasn't all keen on being Batman. So if you add all that, and then you add in this, guys, you guys play basketball. You know, when you're a point guard, you've been a point guard your whole life, which means that you've had the ball in your hands your whole life. You dictate the offense. You make the decisions. Everything goes through you. And so all of a sudden throughout your career, especially in the NBA, where that's put to a halt, that skill set of yours is put on the back burner. Even though it's put on the back burner by a more superior player, you still like, hold on, man, I can still do this at a high level. So he had to fight within that as well with LeBron. And I think Kyrie, to his credit, he gave it 3 years. They got a championship in that time. They went to three straight consecutive NBA Finals appearances. Now he feels like, man, I'm 25. I want my own team, or I want something close to that. And I can't knock him for that.
After winning a title in Cleveland, do you think Kyrie is still going to have a sense of urgency coming to Boston?
I think he will. And the reason, you know, a couple reasons. You know, number one, Kobe Bryant is constantly in his ear. That's the guy who serves as a mentor to Kyrie. And you look at some of those teams that were on Kyrie Irving's initial list of teams he wanted to get traded to. It was Minnesota, New York, Miami, and San Antonio. Well, I personally think Boston puts him in the best position for him to succeed, not only individually, but as a team. So he got, not only do I think he got his team, and I know people will probably argue with me about who team it is, but I think he's got his team, and I think he's got the best chance of winning being over there in the Eastern Conference. So I think he's going to be extra motivated to show not only can he do things on an individual level that we didn't foresee, but now he can put himself in the spotlight to be on a winning team and challenge LeBron James right now for Eastern Conference supremacy. That's why I think you're getting a motivated, encouraged Kyrie Irving, who has a chip on his shoulder, because he looked at John Wall. He looked at Damian Lillard. He looked at guys like that who were getting the limelight. And he felt like, man, I'm better than those guys. And I'm not getting, you know, the people are not mentioning me in that class because I'm playing behind LeBron James. So you're going to get all, Boston Celtics fans are going to get all that they dreamed of with Kyrie Irving if he stays healthy. He's had a lot of health concerns. But if he's healthy, man, I think he's going to be a downright, outright stud for the Celtics.
He loves this deal for the Celtics, dude. Let's book banner number 18 here in Boston right now, dude, the way you're talking.
Hey, I didn't say all that. Hold on. Let me put both words in my mouth now. I didn't say all that. Now, there's some flaws. There's some flaws with Kyrie. You know, you got to look at, you know, is he a leader? I don't think he is, but maybe he can develop into that. And media-wise, like I said, he's not the best guy to cover media-wise. Maybe that'll change. Maybe he's in a better environment, better situation. So, you know, there's some flaws and warts that come with him, but I'm talking strictly basketball with no bias, man. Like, I like the move.
I feel you, dude. Celtics fans around here fired up. Do you think this was the best deal Cleveland could have gotten out there? Because, you know, I know in Cleveland they're spinning it, you know, as this is a great deal for them also. What do you think about it from the Cleveland perspective?
No, I do think it was the best move for them, man. I know some people will agree with me, but I was saying, you know, right when word got out that Kyrie Irving wanted to trade, I said, well, Boston probably has the best package to present to Cleveland if Boston was willing to give up that next pick. So you look at it from Cleveland's standpoint. Okay, you bring in Isaiah Thomas, and you're hoping that he can get back to form with that hip injury. You bring in Isaiah Thomas, you bring in Jay Crowder. So in the short term, you keep a roster that can still contend. You keep LeBron James semi-happy in the meantime and hope that LeBron James resigns. Now, if he doesn't resign, most likely Isaiah Thomas probably won't resign. So then you're left with that next pick, which could probably get you a stud number one pick, you know, depending on what happens with that pick in the draft. So not only are they set for the short term and keeping LeBron James happy and still staying in the contention, they set themselves up for the future where they can probably snag a guy like Porter or Bagley in the draft next year. So I also like the move for Cleveland. You look at any other scenario out there, any other packages that any of those teams had for Kyrie Irving, and it didn't put Cleveland in a position where they can shore up short-term and long-term needs.
Yeah, the Celtics will counter and say they feel good about their present because they added Kyrie and feel good about their future because, yeah, they had to give up a draft pick, but they didn't have to give up Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, two guys that obviously Cleveland has some interest in. But the big picture, how does this, if at all, impact the East? I mean, is Cleveland still the team to beat, or have the Celtics positioned themselves where they're the team to beat?
They're neck and neck to me. But I still would give LeBron James a slight edge. But they're neck and neck. I think when you're looking at the standings, probably Boston is number one, you know, probably number one seed, because Cleveland, they're going to rest LeBron James periodically. And remember what I said before, that, you know, everything, you know, scheme-wise, everything is built around LeBron. So when LeBron's resting, probably Cleveland's going to lose, even if they're playing the Nets. So I think Boston would be number one, but I would give the edge, a slight edge to LeBron in the playoffs against that team. But, man, Boston is going to be tough, man. I'm being rude. They're going to be tough. And you mentioned, like, moving Jay Crowder. You guys know, man, Jaylen Brown was itching to get some more playing time. Like, you know, so you got – and then you got Tatum there, too. Like, Boston is all right. They're going to be all right, man. You know, and the thing about Isaiah Thomas, too, is that, you know, I was told that, you know, there was obviously some hesitancy to fork out significant dough for Isaiah Thomas coming off of an injury, not knowing if he was going to be right or not. So, you know, they made sure they got somebody who was younger, 4 years younger, and I think is better than Isaiah. And I think it makes them a better team. I really do. I really do. And I don't mean to sound cliche, and I do want to pick a side. I like picking sides. But in this race, I really think both teams got what was best for them.
Chris, you know, obviously we're talking about this trade, but the summer of 2018 is going to be a big one, not only for the Cavs, but really the Eastern Conference, the balance of power in the East. Where is LeBron playing after this season?
I think LeBron is going to I think LeBron, and it's funny, I'm actually getting in the car with somebody who I It's just this. I'm actually getting in the car with somebody right now who I told you I was meeting. So can't say no names right now. But I think what LeBron does is he's going to evaluate the year, see what happens. You know, look, this is not – he was kept out the loop. He wanted to be kept out the loop of this whole Kyrie Irving trade development. You have to look at it from the standpoint of playing out the year, seeing what happens. Obviously, things can change. Mind can change throughout the season. Depending, you know, we don't know what the future holds. But he's going to play the season out and then make a decision. But as of right now, I was told he's just going to go to camp, and he was prepared to go to camp with whoever was going to be in attendance. And that hasn't changed as of right now.
Certainly one thing that has stayed the same is the future for both Cleveland and the Celtics. Bright as ever. Just as the future is for my main man, Chris Haynes. Thank you so much for joining the Celtics Talk Podcast. My friend, we will see you down the road, hopefully in the NBA Finals.
All right, my God. Appreciate it. Anytime.
All right, shout out to Chris Haynes for coming on the Celtics Talk Podcast. He loves some Kyrie Irving, dude. He loves this trade for the Celtics.
I need to check his bank account, man. I think he's getting a 4% cut like an agent or something, man. How much he was hyping him up.
That's going to be interesting. You know, from the Cavs' perspective, though, Sherrod, I like this deal for them, too. I think Isaiah is going to thrive in Cleveland.
I think if he's healthy, he's going to thrive in Cleveland. And his health is a concern. And even without the hip issue, I'm still concerned with his health because, again – when I look at Isaiah Thomas, it's hard for me not to think about Allen Iverson. And obviously, they're different players as far as how they built. But I saw Allen in Detroit when he had crossed that threshold from being a legitimate dynamic player to being a shell of a dynamic player that we once saw. The lift wasn't there. He could not finish. He could not shoot. He couldn't do the things physically that he was normally accustomed to doing. And you could tell watching him play, it wasn't a mental thing. His mind was sharp as ever. His body and Father Time had different plans. And I fear that for Isaiah Thomas. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but I do fear it's going to come on quickly when you look at just the pounding that his body has taken over the years. And I mean, you know, the hip injury, I think that's just, you know, that's kind of the first domino to fall that I think ultimately we're going to start to see over time a steady digression in terms of Isaiah's ability to impact the game.
But I tell you what, October 17th, if Isaiah's healthy,
listen,
he's going to try to put 50 on the Celtics, dude. I'm telling you, bro.
Listen, if he doesn't drop 40, I will be shocked. The only way I can see him not dropping 40 is if he's not playing. Because if Isaiah is in the building, got some high tops on, got his headband on, he's gonna be
who's gonna stop him? Who's gonna defend him?
You guys, Marcus Smart.
That's a bench player though. That's a
but you know Marcus plays starter minutes.
Right,
though.
Right, yeah.
So Marcus is your best hope at limiting him. And Kyrie, you just hope that Kyrie can wear him out.
And Kyrie's going to get his too, though, because Kyrie's going to try to go for 40 against LeBron.
You know what's going to happen? To me, this is what's going to happen. They're going to go back and forth. Neither one is going to get an edge. And then LeBron's going to say, okay.
All right.
Isaiah, you deal with Marcus. Don't worry. He's not going to shoot too much. Right. You deal with him. Let me get Kyrie.
Ooh.
And Marcus is going to say, you know, Kyrie, look, I know you want to go at IT, but let me get
it.
So you're going to see, I think you're going to see guys calling their own numbers from a defensive standpoint, which to me is going to be crazy because usually guys are calling their numbers to get buckets. Guys are going to be calling their numbers to stop buckets being made.
All right, so this trade is complete.
I can't wait to the opener, man.
Look at you. You fired up all of a sudden.
I am so jacked. And you know why I'm so jacked?
What?
Because I'm not going to be as jacked on Christmas Day because of the damn Morris brothers.
Dude, them two, hey.
They're not going to go at
each
other.
Yes, they are. Somebody's
going to
hit somebody with an elbow. You got to.
They are not.
You can't take it easy on your brother. You can't.
Listen, if these guys hit free agency and said, give us this big pot of money and we'll split it up.
Yeah.
See, no. That was the first sign that, you know what, when these two play each other, they're not going to go at each other like Cain and Abel. No. It will not be that kind. It'll be more like, hi, brother. How are you?
Right, right. Try not to foul hard. And, you know, that'll be interesting. That's the Christmas Day
game. That's why we needed this trade. We needed this trade to get that animosity, that nastiness. We needed that.
Dude, it's a lot of bad blood now between the Celtics and Cavs.
Love it.
It's a rival. Jay Crowder, Gordon Hayward.
Love it.
Jay going this might be the best defensive performance we've ever seen from Jay Crowder.
He's in the gym
right now working.
Go
you know,
back
with a picture of Gordon Hayward.
And look at that game in January when Jay got mad because they were it was his best game at both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
He had like 21 points, and I think he was like 6 for 8 shooting. Gordon could not make a shot. And the reason he couldn't make a shot is because he all of a sudden found himself with a new jersey. And that jersey is called Jay Crowder, who was all up on him all game long. All up game long.
Oh, my God.
I can't wait.
October
17th. Get your popcorn ready, folks. That's going to be the game.
Of course, we'll have pre- and post-game coverage right here on CSN. And we'll get you ready, too, for the season when training camp begins in late September. But thanks, Celtics, for this fireworks in August. We needed that,
bro. Way to go, Danny.
All right. Shout out to Chris Haynes once again for coming on the Celtics podcast. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, all the podcasting apps. Also on CSNNE.com. Follow Sherrod. Dude, you changed your Twitter handle, right?
Hey, Sherrod Blakely. Yes.
Why'd you do that,
bro? We've got to switch things up a little bit. We'll explain later down the road. We've got to switch things up a little bit.
And for me, it's Kyle Draper TV. We'll see you next time on the Celtics Talk Podcast.